Hello, this is Mike, as always, of the Unknown Experts and Long Island's first and only MMA podcast. And we're going to hit you with the Flash KO, the news of the week, and the predictions for UFC 248 tomorrow. So let's get it going. First and foremost, Ryan Hall has been confirmed to be fighting Ricardo Lamas at UFC Fight Night 174 in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, May 2nd, 2020. An alum of Dana White's The Contender Series, Peter Barnett, is set for his Octagon debut versus Danny Henry at UFC Lincoln, Nebraska, headlined by Glover Teixeira, taking on Anthony Smith, which raises the question, with a couple wins, would you watch Jones versus Glover too? I'd take it way before I'd take Jones versus Anthony Smith too. But neither will be any time before Jones gets a rematch with either Reyes or Santos, or the rumored matchup with Błachowicz. But I can't see them doing that before the Reyes rematch, honestly, with how competitive that fight was. And even how arguably competitive the Santos fight was. And then there's other lesser threats, such as Corey Anderson and Johnny Walker, who are both looking to rebound from losses. Walker in particular, from Anderson himself. And newsflash, flyweight isn't dead yet. Dana White has suddenly announced that he's leaning towards Benavidez versus Figueroa 2 for the vacant flyweight belt. So we're being a tad presumptuous, assuming that matchup ending up not being for the belt, and Figueroa being rumored to be moving up to bantamweight was too soon. We don't have a venue or a date yet or an event, but be on the lookout for yet another flyweight matchup between the two, Benavidez and Figueroa doing it again for another chance at the vacant flyweight championship, which I guess still is currently technically in Henry Cejudo's possession, I guess. Either way. So the judges' scores are going to be public for the first time ever for a mixed martial arts event at Invicta Fighting Championship Phoenix Series 3. It'll be the first openly scored MMA event. It'll take place in Kansas City, Kansas on March 6, 2020. This is essentially, what that means is that in between each round, everyone will be aware of what the judges had scored the previous round. I figure that they'll very quickly hand them off to most likely the commentary team to relay what the scores are, and maybe even post some sort of illustration of what they are on the screen for the home audience, so it's just crystal clear. And hopefully this will set in motion other orgs to follow suit, and eventually to the top tier, you know, the Bellators, the UFC, the Ryzen One Championship, to follow suit, because this is really the best way to handle this situation, especially in wake of the Cutelaba fight. Speaking of Cutelaba, Ian Cutelaba, and what is the other fellow's name, Magomed Ankalaev, have officially signed off for a rematch that for UFC 249 in April on the undercard of Ferguson versus Habib, after what was the worst stoppage in any recent memory last Saturday, when Cutelaba was blocking every head kick with his arms, and as he was throwing a overhand right, the referee stopped the fight while both fighters were on their feet. Cutelaba might have been a bit shook up from the strikes, maybe even a little bit wobbled, but he was nowhere near finished. And when you're throwing strikes standing, you're well beyond just defending yourself intelligently. You're going after the guy. So back to the other news. Paulo Costa will yet again be cage side tomorrow night for UFC 248, Israel Adesanya versus Yoel Romero, just as he was for Israel versus Whitaker for the unification of the middleweight belt. He was supposed to take on the winner, which was Israel, but he was injured within, I think it was the same week he was injured in training camp. So hopefully he will get a chance at the winner this time around, unless there's any controversy. Former ACB, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the proper name for the acronym of this very sketchy Russian organization that's run by that Chechen dictator. That's a whole nother pile of worms. But either way, former ACB welterweight and middleweight champion Albert Duraev, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, Duraev, is rumored to be announced as the newest member of the UFC welterweight roster. So yeah, he'll, instead of middleweight, he'll be pursuing the welterweight division and title if this rumor is true and he does come over to the States. Jillian Robertson will fight Talia Santos at UFC Fight Night 177 in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. That's June 20th. Same card will have Marc-Andre Perrault versus Oscar Paichota. Oscar Paichota will take on Marc-Andre Perrault. So UFC Saskatchewan or Saskatoon, however you want to call the fight card, or just Fight Night 177, is shaping up with some interesting matchups. Bantamweight contender Marlon Moraes will take on Peter Yan. The winner, without a doubt, will be crowned the number one contender for the bantamweight division, taking on the winner of Jose Aldo and Henry Cejudo, who will be fighting at UFC 250 in Sao Paulo, Brazil, for the bantamweight title that Cejudo holds currently. Moraes is coming off a win on Aldo, but we all pretty much saw that the Texas judges got that fight very wrong, and that Aldo should have been the winner, vis-a-vis why he's getting the shot. And Moraes will take on Yan at UFC's first event in Kazakhstan. So UFC Kazakhstan will most likely be headlined by this fight. Again, Moraes versus Yan, sure to be one of the best bantamweight fights in recent history. At least if Aldo versus Cejudo doesn't live up to the hype. Matt Mitrione has stepped in to replace Josh Barnett, who, surprise, surprise, I hate to say it, failed a drug test and will not take on Ronnie Marks at Bellator 241. This all started in January when Barnett had flu-like symptoms and was pulled from the initial matchup against Ronnie Marks, and the match was rescheduled for 241 March 13th. Now Barnett has pissed hot, failing a drug test of some sort, and the big shock of this is that the event is at on the Mohegan Sun Indian Reservation, and the presumption was that they do not do drug tests, vis-a-vis why whenever Bobby Lashley fights, it's always on those cards, because he's clearly juiced to the fucking gills. Sorry, Bobby, but if there's smoke, there's fire, and you're walking around on fire. Either way, Mitrione will take Barnett's place, take on Marks. Hopefully Barnett can sort the situation out with either taking a suspension or anything other than another two-year battle to sort it out in court. After a three-fight skid, Olivier Ubin Mercier signs with the PFL, the Professional Fighters League, to compete in their lightweight million-dollar tournament this year. Expect the unexpected, folks. Amanda Nunes will defend her featherweight belt, not against Megan Anderson, as I so boldly predicted, because of her marketability, the fact that she was on a two-fight win streak and hadn't just suffered a loss and rebounded from it, like the fighter who's getting the matchup instead, Felicia Spencer. Felicia Spencer will be taking on Amanda Nunes at UFC 250 May 9th in Brazil, for the first defense of Amanda's featherweight 145-pound title that she shocked the world, beating Cyborg Santos to win. No, I'm sorry, Cyborg Justino. I'm never going to get used to the fact she's divorced. It's been how many years now? So, yeah, expect the unexpected in the sense that they went with Felicia over Megan here, but do expect the expected when most likely Nunes ends it with a overhand right pretty early in the first frame. But who knows? Maybe Felicia, the little spitfire pit bull she is, can last long enough to make a dent. Curtis Blaydes will take on Alexander Volkov at the headline UFC Fight Night. Saskatoon, as previously mentioned, this is the same card that's going to feature... I was just talking about it. What the bloody hell was it? Jillian Robertson versus Telia Santos, and Marc-Andre Barrault versus Oscar Paichota. That fight, that card will be headlined by Curtis Blaydes versus Alexander Volkov. Yet again, that's in June. The UFC is targeting... No, we already covered that. Scratch that. Never mind. You didn't hear nothing. Don't worry about it. Let's move on to today's press conference. Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov. Nearly got the pronunciation right that time. Getting better. They had their first face-off today, and it went pretty much as you'd expect. Tony appeared very calm, even though he was wearing sunglasses in the middle of the night with some sort of hand wraps on while fingering a baseball during most of the press conference. That's just kind of Tony being Tony, though. He appeared very calm, while Khabib kind of seemed to be feeling the pressure and was very frustrated by much of the response of the audience and Ferguson. At one point, Tony was asked about his mental health by a reporter and quickly responded, picking up the mic, saying, fuck you, next question. The reporter tried saying that he was trying to compliment him, and Tony disregarded that by saying, I don't need your advice. So, yet again, Tony being Tony. Tony laid his interim title on the ground that, if you remember, he had won against Kevin Lee nearly 2 years ago via triangle choke and was stripped of due to basically scheduling conflicts and a roadblock in the way of... you could argue that it was a roadblock in the way of McGregor versus Khabib, or it was the fact that Tony injured himself before the fourth attempt of this match happening. Either way, he was stripped, but still has the belt. So he laid it on the ground as a metaphoric, yet very literal line in the sand for Khabib to try to cross. So Khabib very quickly kicked it off the stage. Then Khabib, for the first time, acknowledged that he is wary and very aware of his opponent's weapons. I only mention it because it's the first time Khabib has admitted to rightfully being aware of such dangers in these more noteworthy opponents he faces. He said, I quote, end quote, I worry always about my opponents. When I fought Barbosa, I worry about his knee, his leg. When I fight Conor, I worry about his left hand. It is basically the refreshing honesty that was first used in the same unashamed fashion by Khabib's most legendary target, George St. Pierre. I mean, it's refreshing for him to kind of find some level to use his verbal game here, even if it's in a very modest sense. At least it's truly him. It's not Kobe Covington trying to put on an act. It's not Conor McGregor being his larger-than-life self. Khabib is just being Khabib, and I'm sorry, Khabib, and just acknowledging that he is aware of these things and he takes them in stride almost. So that was very refreshing to hear. Somehow the press conference kind of turned into a pissing contest between the two of them, as Khabib said, as an American, Tony has never been in a street fight, alluding to that would land you in jail in the U.S. in most cases. I just throw that out there as some food for thought, meaning Khabib is either reaching for whatever insults he can think of or anything to rattle Ferguson, who's a very real threat to Khabib's undefeated streak, legacy, and title, or it's just an attempt at him to yet again find his part in the vocal aspect of prize fighting and pumping up a fight. That's the flash KO for the week, so let's get down to the picks for tomorrow. We're going to run through these as quickly as we can. First off, I'm going Donna Batgirl, a fighter who's 10 years younger at 30 than his opponent, who's 40 years old. Only has two losses. His opponent, whose first name is Guido, is 8-6. Usually fights 10 pounds heavier than Guido as well. So essentially, we're talking about a natural featherweight versus a natural bantamweight. And Donna has a variety of different finishes. That's so I'm going Donna in the opener for the prelims. Then you have Giga Chikadais. If you're gambling, maybe lean towards his opponent Emers because of his consistency when scoring TKOs. But the Georgian fighter Giga Chikadais, the small European country, by the way, has shown KO power in his past fights and what appears to be above average submissions. It's a toss up, but Chick has a serious Gegard Mousasi vibe to him. So that's what's making me lean more towards the Georgian fighter. He very kind of a calm, cool demeanor when he's fighting, shows very little emotion. And even though Emers, who he's taking on, has a belt from another organization, I still think Chikadais has the knockout power to make the difference versus Emers' wins coming mostly from technical knockouts. Now, in one of the lone female fights in the card, I'm going Pollyanna Viana. Gotta love a name that rhymes. She's got KO power, better pedigree, and maybe more MMA grappling tools than her opponent. Daron Wynn, I'm taking. Wynn should be able to negate his opponent, whose nickname is GM3. He'll be able to negate GM3 submission offense, is what I'm getting at in a mush-mouthed, foot-in-mouth fashion over here. 22 submission wins, but 12 losses, 8 of which he got submitted. GM3, I'm referring to, by the way. Most of the decision wins are via top game and pressure and wrestling for Darion Wynn, and that seems like it's going to make the difference. He's got much more of a chance of winning the fight using his top game and pressure to get the W than GM3 does using a barrage of Brazilian jiu-jitsu submission assaults. I mean, that's just kind of one-on-one when it comes to the state of modern MMA. And then I'm going Rodolfo Vieira, smaller fighter coming up from middleweight, is undefeated, taking on a dangerous light heavyweight fighter and a Dagestani fighter named Safarov, but Safarov is 1-2 in his only three UFC appearances, one of those losses being a Kimura submission loss. So the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu versus Vieira should be able to at least out-grapple the Russian in a few ways. I mean, what I'm focusing on here is just how damn hard it is to score a Kimura, aka double wrist lock, on a fighter who's the same weight as you. It's all they need to do is trap their own hand behind their own body, especially if they're on the bottom and it's not a scramble, and you're even allowed to hold on to your own shorts to defend. So if Safarov was caught with a Kimura lock, that means he can get riled up enough where such a thing can happen. So I'd go Vieira in this fight. Pressing forward, Marco Madsen, I'm taking, is a Danish fighter who's undefeated at 9-0. He took 4 years off back in 2014 until 2018, returned and fought four times all in just 2018, and then three more times in 2019. This will be his second UFC appearance, and this might be a guy to keep your eye on. I don't see him as a potential contender unless a couple things change, i.e. Jones moves up in weight or falls from grace. But Marco Madsen, at least tomorrow night, is the guy I would bet on. Sugar Sean O'Malley's returning after his two separate PED allegations and the mud thrown on what was a very promising startup career. The 10-0 prospect is essentially in a make-or-break fight situation. Like I said, after the two semi-suspensions, he needs to win this fight to make everyone else forget about the past alleged indiscretions. Then, moving closer to the main card, we've got Cowboy Oliveira versus Max Griffin. I'm going Cowboy Oliveira. Griffin could wrestle his way past strikes and sub attempts to win via decision, but I think Oliveira gets it done. I believe he's coming off of a loss, or at least he's been juggling a couple losses and wins, but I think he's got the tools to attack Max Griffin on the feet, hurt him, and then go for the finish via rear naked choke, most likely, or arm bar, you know, one of your basic three subs, you know, the arm bar, rear naked choke, the rear naked choke, arm bar, guillotine choke, trifecta that made Jake Shields' career. So, yeah, go Cowboy Oliveira, maybe even by TKO over Max Griffin. Then Neil Magny, I'm going with over the very interesting fighter that is Lee. Lee would land something, but most likely the fresh off the shelf Magny wrestles his way to victory. Then we got Benil Darouche taking on Jakar Close. I'm going Jakar Close because I have never thought Darouche has had the stuff to get past a certain level, and I think Close is right on the edge of that level, so to speak. So I think Close gets it done in a potential fight of the night, and that's saying something with the fights still to come and already passed, meaning, you know, O'Malley, Oliveira, Zhang, Izzy, and Romero. So Jakar Close and Benil Darouche, expect him to put on either a very entertaining fight or a very so-so fight, but I see Jakar getting it done. Then the co-main event for the women's strawweight belt. Wiley's, proper pronunciation is Zhang Weili. Zhang Weili is going to be taking on Joanna, and we're going to slow for a second, and we're going to try the proper pronunciation, and it is Jajinski. I can't believe I keep forgetting how to pronounce her goddamn name. I am a big fan of the woman. I love her style whenever she uses that push kick to the chin, but she's abandoned it to help her wrestling defense. At least that's my theory in the recent couple years. I feel like that's what helped her kind of fall from grace. That would have been a real big weapon she could have utilized, especially in the rematch against Rose Namajunas. But Zhang Weili is the true article. She's the real deal. That woman is the fury of the Red Dragon. That's China. Expect a lot of sidekicks to the face and body from her. The lead sidekick, whether it's to the face or the chest or the stomach, is just devastating. And she can use it to set up her heavy hands. So no matter how much I fancy Joanna here, I got to go with Zhang in this fight. Maybe even by a technical knockout. It could be a hard-fought decision. So I would go Zhang Weili 100%. Then on to the main event, Israel Adesanya defending his middleweight title against Yoel Romero. Yoel is a beast, so Izzy gets this done. He's got to get it done by a decision. I mean, there's a chance he could TKO Romero, especially with some help from the referee, but if I had to put money down, I would say Israel gets it done in probably even a 3-2 decision, because Romero is going to make this a fight. He's shown the intensity in his training camp, in his pre-fight interviews. He is in there for real this go-around. And he, in all likelihood, should have won in his last title shot against Robert Whittaker. And I don't know what happened with the judging in that fight. I scored it easily 3-2 Romero. But it feels Adesanya has the weapons to beat Yoel. He's younger, he's quicker, he's loose on his feet, even though Yoel is too Izzy's looser, more of a striker, looseness than a wrestler, grappler's looseness, very good at in and out movements. Dominic Cruz put up a great video of explaining his movement, how he uses an initial feint to set up a right cross or left cross, depending on which footing he comes in with. He can always throw a roundhouse to the body or the chin, and it was very little chambering of the kick to begin with. Explodes with knees to the body and can throw all sorts of flashy stuff out there as well. The one asterisk I would add is Israel's biggest test was against the power striking wrestler Kevin Gastelum, and that was the fight of the year last year, and Gastelum made it a fight that Izzy had to scrape down deep to get the W. But Romero is a better wrestler and arguably hits much harder than Gastelum. So when you think about it like that, and you think about how Yoel's learned that his gas tank can't be depleted as quickly as it used to be, so he reserves himself a la the way he did in the first and second Whitaker fights. So he kind of lulls his opponent to sleep and then explodes. And then think about the Weidman fight where he did that. He lulled Chris to kind of a false sense of security and exploded when Chris shot on him with a double leg and hit him with a jump knee that knocked out Weidman and cut open his forehead. Could that happen in this fight? Not necessarily in that fashion, because I don't see Israel going for a takedown unless he's absolutely desperate for getting caught with a monster strike, which would be the wrestler clocking the striker a la Habib versus McGregor, a la, if you're old school like me, Krokop and Randleman. So could Romero pull it off? Of course, anything could happen in this sport. If you're going to bet on this, if you have to bet on this, go with Israel. But honestly, this is the type of fight where you shouldn't even bet. You should just sit back and enjoy, because something shocking could happen, and more than likely will happen, whether it's a flash knockout for the champion or a stunning, pounding victory for the challenger. That's the predictions for UFC 248 and Flash KO, our news of the week. I'm your host, as always, Mike, as always. And this has been another mini-sode of the Unknown Experts. Let's check in after the fights.